live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Simply G Media Network Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment. You can go to simplyg.com to find out more information on G.J. Reynolds, the playful and powerful warrior. And we have a really exciting celebrity today, G, don't we?
Yes, I mean, you know, it's always amazing how many people we have on the show, and just when you think you're like, man, how can it get any better? It just keeps getting better, and today I'm excited. We've got one of the hardest hitting guys in pro football. He's had one heck of a career. He's originally from the L.A., Los Angeles area, played at University of Washington, started out with playing there with the San Francisco 49ers, was actually got to experience the Super Bowl, and now he's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he's also known as the Hawk. And for those that want to follow him, the Hawk38 on Twitter, and I'm one of his new followers. Please welcome to the show the hard-hitting, the Hawk, Deshaun Goldson. How you doing, Deshaun?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Fantastic. We're doing great, for sure. GJ, again, when we have athletes like this that are that hard-hitting, it's really cool to have them on the show, right, G?
Most definitely. And, you know, I'm excited to learn a little more about Deshaun's background. I know you grew up in L.A. I've spent a lot of time in L.A. L.A.'s been like my second home. And so I know today you're in a much warmer place than we are.
Hell yeah. I'm better off right now, man. It's like summertime in Las Vegas compared to where you guys are.
So definitely tell us a little about your childhood, Deshaun, growing up in L.A.
Growing up was, you know, it was some ups and downs. You know, my family did what they could, you know, to help provide for us and definitely keep us out of harm's way. Growing up in L.A., we knew that we all know it's a little rough, but I looked for sports to definitely be an outlet for me. And it's been paying off, man. I grew up, I bounced around a lot in L.A., living in L.A., Inglewood. So I pretty much lived everywhere about. But tells me I grew up in pretty much Harbor City, went to high school out in Harbor City, next to Carson and Long Beach, that area. And it was a challenge, definitely a challenge, but football was definitely something I looked to and got me this far.
Well, absolutely, Deshaun. And GJ, you see specifically that something always is that hook, is that opportunity that can change your life in so many ways. And GJ saw that growing up in his life as well when he found that he could be an entrepreneur, right, G?
True. And, you know, there's usually that one defining moment or that you know, that connection or just something that sparks that, you know, I know I'm on the right path. And sometimes it's falling down hard, and sometimes it's overcoming a challenge. And obviously, Deshaun, you know, you grew up in L.A., and, you know, it can be a tough place to grow up. And you went on to play in college at the University of Washington. So where did you when was it that you saw that, hey, you knew sports was the, you know, especially football, when you know it's like, you know what, I'm in the right place, the right time. I know I can actually do something with football. When was that for you?
Actually, like I was in my junior year in high school, you know, my earlier years in high school, I didn't do so good, man. Just hanging around people and definitely just being a kid. It's really my junior year, Kim Brown, and my coach. I mean, my other coach, Bobby Lozette, who always believed in me because I was in the Pop Warner. But, you know, when I got to the high school level, I started getting recruited by colleges and stuff like that. And he would tell me, like, you can really, you know, make a career out of this. You can go to the NFL. And, you know, as a kid, you just like, you always had dreams of that. But, you know, just being from inner city, it was like, I mean, there's a chance of me making it out, you know. But I stuck to it. You know, I had coaches and guys in my corner, and that gave me hope, man. And it was just, man, you just pretty much telling me how good I was, and simply just seeing the results. You know, every week I took football games, and the community coming out and supporting me. I kind of buckled down and just started taking it serious. Started doing my classwork and you know, it just went on to college and fell in love, man.
and definitely you fell in love, and through that process of finally figuring out that you're good enough to play in the next level and especially go to college, were there any mentors in your football career, especially high school, that kind of guided you to where you are today?
Definitely. Like I said, a guy named Poppy was there. He was a coach of mine, and Pop Warner went ahead and coached me in high school. And then came across, and still to this day, I still have talks with him, and he still helps me out to this day right now.
So as we talk about on this radio show, Deshaun, and GJ will touch upon this, mentorship is such a key component for success, right, G?
Absolutely, and, you know, it's one of the top things in my, for me to have the success that I've had, and most people have had that success, you know, they've had good coaching or good mentorship, and at whatever level that they go to or rise up to, they continue to have mentors and coaches in their life to, you know, help them hold accountable, help them, show them the way, and then also be able to call them out. And sounds like Deshaun, you from Pop Warner all the way to college, you had it, and sounds like your coach is still involved. So, you've definitely been able to, you've had a great career already, and the time that you played in the league. So obviously, mentorship and being around the right people has helped you. So. What's something that you would also share with our audience? Because our audience is really looking for empowerment, success, you know, struggles, and how they can overcome that. And so what would some other advice outside of having a mentor that you could attribute your success with, in addition to hard work?
Just staying true to yourself, man, and really, just emphasizing just your work ethic on what you want to do in life. And just reaching your goals at the highest point. Growing up, there are a lot of people that's there for you that people don't usually, take advantage of. And me just being the person I am, I always look for older guys, and I respect my elders. They always give me pointers or even a little advice. I just hang on every word, And I think that's what's got me far, or where I am today, I'll say. Just listening to my peers and just the guys that have been through it, who have experience in it, you know what I mean? Just listening and focusing on the task at hand, just taking it day by day.
See, that's a great point. You are willing to be taught, Deshaun. That's so key. And you're willing to be taught, and you're also true to yourself. Two major things for success in so many ways. So I guess through that success in the NFL led to your foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about your foundation?
Yeah, man, I started the foundation back in 2009. I had formed a foundation, and it was to help, kids, inner-city kids and kids that are at risk. And one of the key reasons why we started was to help people that was incarcerated. You know, I had a couple of friends and family members that had been incarcerated, and that's, came out the system and ended up going back in based on just the lack of knowledge or the lack of, they couldn't adapt to the new atmosphere around them. I had a friend that did about 10 years and ended up going back in because he didn't know how to adapt to what's going on in the world now. So I kind of based my foundation around that, on helping guys, with these programs, trying to develop programs to help them stay out. You know what I mean? Help them get jobs and help them adapt and let them know, what's going on in the world today. I'm still just making relationships, building relationships, trying to develop that because I really want to, focus on that part of it. And I just still do my camps, do a whole lot of football camps and get back, Christmas get back. I'm here in Tampa right now. I have this thing we call Shop with a Jock. I'm taking about 50 I think about 50 kids shopping here in the next couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. so long. I'm doing some good things right now.
Well, it's great to be Santa Claus and get that opportunity to do that. I was talking to Marcus Stroud about what he does at his foundation. He's how to, able to give toys away. That's such a key thing. And GJ, he touched upon something that you do with Mission G, and that talks about, again, giving people another opportunity, especially veterans after they come back, get them back to work. And he's talking about incarcerated individuals and helping them reform their lives. It's so important, right, G, to have that person. And GJ will speak to that as well, right, G?
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, we you know, I'm a former military veteran in the U.S. Army, and you know, now I see a lot of veterans that get out of the military and they have struggled, you know, adjusting to civilian life. And a lot of our homeless, I mean, you know, I had a place downtown L.A., and, you know, a lot of the homeless people there in L.A., a lot of them are former military veterans. They just couldn't adjust correctly. And obviously, I can only imagine, you know, somebody that's been incarcerated to get out, you know, it's a different lifestyle than when they went in and what they're used to, and they're being told what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. And I can see there's an adjustment period, so that I see a void there. And, you know, obviously, if you don't transition correctly, either you got to go back or you're going to do something bad and end up back there anyway. So I think that's a great cause that you're doing. And, you know, it's all about helping raise people up and showing that empowerment. And that's what the Mission G Foundation, that, you know, actually Neil's a part of that as well. So maybe at some point we can figure out how we can align and help each other. Because really, I mean, it's similarity. It's just, you know, the circumstances are a little different with the individual, but the process is the same.
Respect that, and definitely.
Yeah, definitely, Deshaun. And again, what you're doing already as one of the top players in the NFL, a Pro Bowler, deciding, you know what, I'm going to help the incarcerated, the people that are down in so many ways. And through that work with people that have been incarcerated, do you look at the kids also in that process as something that's big in the part of your foundation as well?
For sure. The kids, especially. Like when I was based in San Francisco, I did a few things. I was working with this program, these guys, what's the name of them? The Fly program. It's Fresh Lifelines for Youth. And this was based on a bunch of juvenile kids that have been incarcerated and are out now, but they are in pretty much these programs to help them, you know, develop them as men. And they're putting them through, like, different school programs and job programs. I thought it was a neat deal, so I teamed up with them and did some stuff with them. So it's definitely it's for the kids, especially.
Well, absolutely, and in helping others. And then when you talk about kids that won't have Christmas presents under the tree and won't have presents during the holiday season, what a tremendous thing. And see, Deshaun, GJ, as we all of our athletes who come on this show and celebrities who come on this show, the reason why we have them on this show is because they have an entrepreneurial spirit, but also are willing to give, right, G?
Right. I mean, we're all about empowering others, whether it's through giving or teaching them how to elevate their life, you know, their health or their prosperity. And I always enjoy it when a successful athlete or celebrity, they realize they have an elevated platform and they're giving back or they're providing education, you know, what to do or what. In some cases, I mean, you've been in the league some time, and a lot of the guys, they've had, you know, the tough upbringing and, you know, so they seen the good, the bad, the ugly. And they're teaching kids, you know, a better way. And obviously you're doing that as well. So my hat's off to you. And one question that we ask each of our guests before we end the show is, you know, what's your 90-day challenge? What's your 90-day challenge goal? I'm sure it's going to be around football. So what's your 90-day challenge goal that you'd like to accomplish over the next 90 days?
That has nothing to do with football. I mean, in my life, everything revolves around football at the moment, you know, when it's first in the season. The only thing is, maybe just staying healthy, man, staying healthy and keep rich and ready as kids as possible. I'm new to the city in Tampa now, so trying to develop, like I said, relationships here. But starting to really start doing a lot of community work here. that's what I've been emphasizing on with my supportive team. And definitely just saying everything's going to win less football games before the season's over.
All right. And also, where can we find information on you, Deshaun, and learn more about you and how we can help your foundation? Where can we find more information on you and find out more information on your foundation?
I mean, right now, you can just follow me on Twitter at TheHawk38. I'm in the process of getting my website up and running again. So you can stay tuned with that. Right now, that's at TheHawk. Just stay tuned for a lot of events and information as far as the events and giveaways, get packs, all that good stuff.
Oh, great. Well, in the off season, we have to get you back on the show to talk about more about your passion and your foundation and also your career, of like your highlights and career moments in the NFL. So I appreciate you coming by, and I'll definitely reach out to your publicist, Deshaun, to have you back on again on the Beach Lifestyle celebrity segment on the Simply G Media Network. So, Deshaun, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. All right, you're listening to the Total Tutors Show, powered by the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment on the Simply G Media Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, powered by the Simply G Media Network. You can go to simplyg.com, simplyg.com, for more information on G.J. Reynolds, the Playful and Powerful Warrior, or my website, TotalTutor.net, Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And this show is a pretty interesting reality TV show, for sure. And so I want to welcome the program from Basketball Wives, former Basketball Wives reality star, Keisha Nichols. Keisha, thanks for calling.
Of course. Thanks for having me. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm getting ready for the holiday. A lot of hiccups after the weekend, you know, just trying to get through. You know, countdown is coming for sure to a couple days for relaxation. And it's nice having the schedule as owning a tutoring and consulting company, because business does slow down at this time. So it's kind of really kind of, you know, chill out in a lot of ways. So when we talk about specifically, again, you're a jack of all trades in so many aspects. Did you always want to be an entertainer, Keisha?
Well, I always wanted to be a dancer since I was 4 years old and started taking dance at Sherry School of Dance. I didn't know that I was going to be entertaining strangers. I thought it would just be for my family. But, yes, I guess the answer to that is yes, because I love to dance. I love to make people happy and make them smile, and entertainment is just in my blood.
So you basically saw you loved being on stage. There's a lot of people that thrive on that and want to entertain people and say, you know, doing different things, this is the kind of stage you want to be at. So you had that idea, but you never thought it would be on television and lots of other people. You just enjoyed the attention, also enjoyed performing, right?
Yes, exactly. I think I came out dancing. I was dancing before I was walking. I'd sit my family down and sing and teach them and do class and talking to the video or microphone recorder and listening to myself. So I was always doing some sort of entertaining, yes.
So before Basketball Wives, were you dancing or acting or doing anything before Basketball Wives?
Oh, yes. Contrary to popular belief, my life did not start the day you saw me on VH1. I danced my whole life when I lived in my hometown for 14 years. Then I went to Columbia College and got a BA in dance education. And I taught dance in a public school in Columbia, South Carolina. And then I decided that I needed to move to New York because I had those lights in my eyes and just needed to go and see what the big city was about, and I've been there for 11 years now.
Okay, so before that happened, basically, you were always trying to make it as a professional dancer. So you were looking specifically to be involved in Broadway, or what would you say your type of dance is?
Well, I'm trained in ballet, tap, and jazz. My college was a ballet and modern school, but I really, really love the NBA dance team feel, so hip-hop, girly, you know, fun entertainment. I also had a dance agent, Block, in New York, so I performed for music awards, you know, artists, recording artists, and, you know, just travel performing, and also danced for a group called NBA Fan Patrol, which was a group that was anything that wasn't one specific team with the NBA. So I got to do all the All-Star games. I did NBA Europe Live, NBA China. So I got to travel the world also with the NBA.
Oh, wow. So, but you were just on the dance team for the NBA, not a specific team.
Yes, I danced for the New Jersey Nets for 3 years, and then I danced for NBA Fan Patrol for an additional 4 years after that.
Gotcha. So, again, that is a and definitely looking at specifically other gigs as well throughout that time. And then why did you choose to do basketball-wise? Was it something, hey, you know, am I really going to do a reality show? I'm sure you weren't a big fan of reality.
Sure. No. Well, actually, I was a fan of it. I love to watch it.
Okay.
But I have a dance production company called Sugar and Spice Productions, and I was working on my own reality show with VH1 about my dance company, and they talked me into doing Basketball Wives because they said, you know, once I did that show, which was very popular, and VH1's number one show in franchise history, that the world would know who I was, and it would be a lot easier for me to get my own show on the air after that.
Okay, so
that was what talked me into doing basketball.
So that was your pitch, your hook. So specifically enough, for our listeners out there that have never seen Basketball Wives, what's the premise of the show?
Well, I think the show started out to cover the lives of women that were involved with or married to basketball players.
Right.
But strangely enough, the season that I was on, there was not a single woman on the show that was actually married to a basketball player at that time. The women, just after season one and season two, the show just kind of took on a life of its own, and the characters were so popular that nobody really cared that they weren't involved with basketball players anymore, and they just became the stars.
Oh, wow. Okay. See, I didn't know that for sure. So you weren't involved with any basketball players during the show then?
No, it's been 4 years since my wedding was canceled with my ex-fiance that was an NBA player.
Okay, so they took people that, you know, that already the relationship was over and put them in the show. And first they were just going to show the lives of both of them. Gotcha. I understand completely. All right, so from that experience, what did you think of the experience on the show?
It was a tumultuous experience for me. I am not like the other women that were on the show, and I think that's why I was a valuable character at the time. It wasn't very positive for women of color, and there was a lot of fighting and just not really good role models. And so another hook for me, you know, the people at VH1 said that I would have an opportunity to come on the show and show a positive outlook. Someone who still actually got along with their ex, and to show, you know, positive women of color, and be, you know, a role model for girls that were watching the show instead of it being always so negative.
We're talking to Keisha Nichols of Basketball Wives, formerly of Basketball Wives, and really about a lot of her interesting entrepreneurial ventures, and then we're going to talk about the anti-bullying campaign as well. But first, just trying to learn a little bit about the experience of Basketball Wives. And so, again, I've interviewed many reality television stars, from The Real Housewives to Married to Medicine, all these different ones. And honestly, the producers set things up so that it becomes a very bad situation. Regardless if you're a good person, you get thrown in a mix of just trash talk and absolute just no holds bar. You got to protect yourself. And it becomes a very, very stressful situation that people sometimes don't understand. This is reality. Even though the producers have kind of spin things a different way, it's reality. Correct?
Yes, it was. It definitely was reality. It was not a scripted show.
Was there a favorite moment on the show? Because I was researching you right now and saw some of the YouTube stuff I wanted to have a chance to listen to. Was there a favorite moment on the show?
My favorite moment on the show was when they covered a charity benefit that I did for my girlfriend that had a brain tumor. and they covered it. I did a charity event. It was great. You didn't get to see a lot of it on the show, but they had a bonus clip that showed my girlfriend and I preparing for the event. We raised a lot of money for her, and the National Brain Tumor Association was part of it. And it unfortunately, they didn't show a lot of the positive things that we did and filmed. You know, you film thousands of hours for a one-hour show each week. But there were some good things going on behind the scenes, for sure.
Well, you know, and there are good points and bad points. Sometimes the bad points are what you focus on in so many ways, but it hopefully helped take off your career even more. Can you tell me a little bit about why the whole anti-bullying campaign? I think I am such a huge advocate to try to stop bullying in schools, especially cyberbullying, because kids are just so hurt, and it takes on its own process once you go on to adulthood, where you kind of never lose some of these hurtful feelings that were developed and how you were treated. It takes a long time to kind of recover in that way.
Yes, it actually does. And, you know, I believe, you know, you're put in every situation for a reason. And I didn't experience a lot of bullying when I was younger, and I don't have any children of my own, so I wasn't aware of how prevalent bullying and cyberbullying is with our youth today. And, you know, like you just said, a lot of the situations on reality shows are negative. And for me, I thought that I would just go on the show and be a sweet person,
right,
show
exactly
this awesome side of me. But you have to be in bad situations to show who you really are. And it took me a while to realize that. But in a situation on the show, I was being bullied by one of the women, and we were in Tahiti, and, you know, I was away from everyone, and she bullied me pretty bad, took my purse, my passport, my phone, my wallet, every connection that I had to the outside world, and it was bad when it was happening, but it was even worse for me to watch it back on TV, because you normally don't get to see what the bully is saying mm-hmm. about you after the bullying happens. And I was blogging after every episode, and after I saw that episode, I didn't really know what I was going to say in my blog, and instead of saying anything negative about anyone on the show, I went and I educated myself, and I found out exactly what bullying was, what is a bully, why does it happen, and so my blog was an informative blog about what bullying was and how we can stop it. And after I posted that blog, Nicki Minaj just happened to see my blog and see that episode, and she reposted my blog to her 11 million followers, and now all of a sudden I've become an advocate against bullying, and I would not change that experience ever, because I really believe that this is a platform that I'm supposed to be part of.
Exactly. So from there, how are you helping stop bullying right now?
I am speaking in public schools in New York and in North Carolina. I'm bringing my message, teaching the kids about what bullying is exactly, how to prevent it, what to do when you see someone else being bullied, and just helping spread the message and also asking questions because, you know, unless the kids are really talking to you, you don't know what's going on. And a lot of times they say, you know, we do tell teachers, we do tell our parents, and nothing is done. And, you know, there's still not an answer. There's not a formula to stop it. And so I'm trying with our youth to find out a way to really stop this horrible epidemic of bullying that's going on right now.
Well, definitely at the end of the show, we're going to have to ask where we can find information so that schools can book you, but also how our listeners can help out in this process to stop bullying. Now, you also have some entrepreneurial ventures you want to share with us. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, I'm really excited about my newest venture. I, along with a good friend of mine, Cindy Winters, she's a Broadway star. She was Nala, Lion King, on Broadway in the national tour. And we are both mixed. We're both biracial. And we have created a movement and lifestyle brand called Blendiva, which is a place for girls and women of mixed race and multicultural backgrounds to belong. And our motto is embrace your blend. And so it is a way for girls who kind of floating along, not really having a place to belong, to feel like they have a community and a place to come and be proud of being of blended race.
Tremendous. That's in a way, because again, people misunderstand that. And there is bullying that occurs because of biracial relationships and biracial children, and also people of other nationalities that just literally, you know, it just becomes a process. So for girls and women to kind of connect in that way, what a fantastic thing. So there's a lot of different things you're doing, Keisha. So tell us where we can find all that info and learn more about you.
Well, my Instagram and my Twitter are my first and last name, Keisha Nichols, KeshaNichols. You can also find me on Facebook. My blog is on Tumblr, and everything is with my first and last name, Keisha Nichols.
All right, well, I'll tweet this out when it airs in all the different syndication, Keisha. It was a pleasure speaking to you, and best of luck in all the different ventures you're doing, and you're really paying it forward, and great success in your career, and thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care, Keisha. Okay, bye-bye. All right, you're listening to Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, powered by the Simply G Media Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Insightful Players series. You can go to insightfulplayer.com or also simplyg.com for the Simply G Media Network. And I'm always excited about Insightful Players because, again, Chrissy Carew does such a fantastic job teaming up with the NFL to find the greatest NFL players that are helping in the community and have just awesome stories. You can go to insightfulplayer.com and read the book and also learn about the stories of each of the players that are part of Insightful Player and much, much more. So I first want to welcome the program my co-host, Jared. Jared, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest today.
I am, absolutely. I remember our guest, that just terrific career, and being able to watch him in the old New England Patriot uniform.
Oh yeah, that I love that old uniform, and we can talk about that another time. But we have to be closet Patriots fans, especially for our flagship station in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're gonna get a lot of heat for that, Jared, for sure. But I want to welcome the program, the third time leading passer for the New England Patriots, all-star, and much, much more, great and insightful player, Steve Grogan. Steve, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Absolutely, Steve. And again, it's a situation where you look at your career, but starting out, did you ever think that you were going to have that, be an NFL player and have such a career that you had?
I think I was like any other kid to dream of becoming a professional athlete. I actually enjoyed basketball in high school more than I did football, but I was better at football. I had a chance to go to Kansas State, and we weren't very good during that time period. So I wasn't real sure whether I'd get a chance at the NFL, and then the Patriots drafted me, and they already had three veteran quarterbacks, and I was told they were only keeping two. And, you know, things in life sometimes work out if you're prepared, and we had one of the veterans retired, and Jim Plunkett, who was a starter, got hurt, and I was the only guy left to stay there as the backup, and it took them 16 years until they finally figured out they made a mistake.
So that we really, Jared, go way into the story very quickly about Steve and how he got that opportunity, and I know, Jared, you have some interesting questions, especially about his childhood and stuff, right?
Well, I do. Growing up in Kansas, and you know, one of the questions I was going to ask is, but Steve answered it already, was growing up in Kansas, how do you turn to football when basketball is the number one sport in the state of Kansas? He answered that for us. But, Steve, what was it like growing up in Kansas with your parents? How involved were your mom and dad in your athletic endeavors and school endeavors? And, you know, what was that like for you?
It was a great time for me. I grew up in a small town, Ottawa, Kansas, had about 10,000 people, so you knew a lot of the people in town. We were about an hour southwest of Kansas City. you know, we could hunt and fish all year. We could play our sports. There was a group of guys in my class that all loved sports and athletics and were good at it. And, that made it even more enjoyable. We had a lot of success my senior year because of the group of athletes we had. My parents were very supportive. They're very involved in the community there in Ottawa, and my dad was a junior high school coach and later went on to do some coaching at the Ottawa University, small NAIA school there in town. So I grew up around sports and coaches and just loved the way things went in my youth. It was a great place to grow up.
Well, absolutely. Kansas is definitely a great place to grow up, and that's one of our flagship affiliates out there in Kansas City. And I always enjoyed traveling to Kansas as a professional wrestler, Steve. I wrestled in Wichita a lot, so I definitely traveled all the way through there, drove all the way from Pittsburgh to do the minor league circuit in Wichita and do TV on Friday nights. So that's just a little segue back to Kansas. And
you've been through the Flint Hills and going down into Wichita. It's a lot of people think it's a boring drive, but to me, it's beautiful. You can see forever.
Well, it is. It's gorgeous, and I really enjoyed Kansas, and I was wanting to start a wrestling promotion in there. I never had it, and a good friend of mine, Derek Stone, who's on radio somewhere else now, and we were both wrestlers, we had a dream of having a territory in Kansas, and we have good friends in Kansas City and also Omaha, Nebraska, so we understand our definite Midwest roots in that certain aspect. And do you think that ultimately growing up in an area like that kept you grounded going into to play college football and then also go on to the NFL, that those roots helped you in a lot of ways to stay grounded and keep persevering?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I think probably staying grounded came more from my family than it would have from the community. I mean, there's guys in Kansas that grow up and go on to professional sports and make a lot of mistakes and are not well grounded, but I had great family support. I knew how to conduct myself. As I said, we weren't very good at Kansas State, so I learned about getting knocked on your rear end and getting back up and believing in yourself and continuing to compete. And I think all those things helped me once I got to the NFL and the New England Patriots.
Wow.
And Neil, you led us right into kind of the question that I was thinking of here. Neil brought up his professional wrestling. Maybe not so many role models that we want to have in the wrestling field. Sorry about that, Neil. Steve, you were absolutely one of my role models growing up here in Pittsburgh, and I remember watching you play on Sundays, and I had your jersey, and you were one of my players that, you know, that I was out there throwing the football, pretending to be. How important is it do you feel that it is to be a role model? It sounds like your parents were your role model for you, and you talked about staying grounded. How important is it to be that model for young people?
Oh, I think it's extremely important. And, you know, you mentioned growing up in Pittsburgh. When I was in high school and college, Terry Bradshaw was having his great career in Pittsburgh, and I kind of admired the way he played quarterback. He was a tough guy. Didn't back down from anybody, and then when I finally get to play against him, it was a thrill of a lifetime. But, you know, when I'm out in the community talking to people about role models, people are extremely concerned about professional athletes not being good role models, and there are some of them like that. But I try to tell them that, you know, 90% of the guys in professional sport are good people doing good things in the community. You just don't hear about it. And then may not be role models, so to speak, parents, teachers, police in the community, but what kids see on a daily basis, the people they're around on a daily basis, influence their behavior far more than anybody, whether it's an athlete or a movie star or a singer. They're influenced by their community and the people they come into contact with daily far more than these guys and gals they see on television. So it's important for everybody to be a good role model.
Exactly. And as parents, we see this, Jared, all the time. We talk to parents about it, that we have to be a model for them. And the way we act in front of our children is shaping them in so many ways. And kind of going back to your family again, Steve, what would you say how do they really shape you in the best way, especially in modeling the correct behaviors at home to help you in that process of growing up to be a great, to be a very successful adult in that formation? Tell us a little about that.
Well, I think it's just the way they conducted themselves. As I said, they were very active in the community, whether it was being on the board at the hospital or doing something for the college there in town, raising money for them. My dad was very involved in Kiwanis Club. I was fortunate to have a stay-at-home mom when I was growing up. I think that was extremely important to be able to leave the house with mom there and come home with mom there. Most kids don't get that opportunity nowadays, but just the way they, and not only them, but my aunts and uncles and grandparents, they all just did the right thing, and that influenced me tremendously to do the same thing.
Absolutely. And Jarrett, and that's what we talk about all the time on our show, don't we?
You're correct, and so many of the players, all of the players, and Steve is our latest interview to really nail the details of you know, almost the guiding principles that you know that we have or that we're hoping to have. And Neil, this is something that we started our show years ago discussing this with parents. And you know, Steve, you talked about your playing career at Kansas State, and you know, the team was not as successful as the Kansas State team these days, and certainly the Patriots had some terrific years with you, but they weren't all terrific years. How important was it? I mean, we look at athletes and we tend to only see the success. How important was it to you to have both the set success and face the challenges of being a professional athlete?
Well, there were some challenging times in my career. Went from starter to backup to starter to backup again, and then to starter again, and then had some injuries and had to go back to backing up. So, you know, there were times when people thought I was the best thing in the world, and there were times people wished I was out of town. But back in my day, they didn't have free agency, so you had to play with the team that had your contract, and the Patriots kept me around, I think, because I did whatever I could to help the team win. If I was a backup, I tried to give the defense the best picture I could give them in practice to get them prepared. And I prepared myself to be ready to play in case I had to go in the game. And that opportunity came several times, and I was able to be successful when I did it. I didn't go stomp off in the corner and cry about it and ask to be traded. I did what they asked me to do.
Absolutely. And it's something that, again, goes back to your family background and teaching you to persevere through those times and understand that those things are going to happen. One of the things you talked about, especially that I've read in your bio, is talk about the importance of education. So when you were at Kansas State, you were definitely a student athlete, weren't you, Steve? That education was an important part of your life, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. You know, my dad being a school teacher, and a lot of the family members were school teachers also. I knew that education was important, and I knew that athletics wouldn't last forever. And if you have an education, you've got a chance when the athletics are done. Again, that was a great example set by my folks. I was fortunate enough to, not fortunate enough, I made myself graduate in 4 years. I was honored to be an all Big Eight conference academic athlete for my junior and senior years. I just knew that studying and education was probably more important than playing football.
That's important, and then that keeps you going in a lot of ways to understanding being a student of the game to learn about football. So when we get back, we're going to go more Steve Grogan, insightful player, New England Patriot, and learn about, I guess, his whole career in New England and then life after football, because, again, ultimately, especially at the time Steve played, the money wasn't there, so there really had to be a game plan afterwards. And we talked to a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers about this on our show, Washington Redskins, a lot of people that, again, life after football is a key component. And hopefully the players today learn from players like Steve. You're listening to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Insightful Players series, insightfulplayer.com, and also the Simply G Media Network. And we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Insightful Player Series. You can go to insightfulplayer.com for more information on Chrissy Carew and purchase the book and learn about, again, the assemblies that they offer with these fantastic NFL players. And as Jared has we've talked about, and we all every week get to see, Jared, these unbelievable, insightful players. It's just awesome, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know, we highlighted Steve's early life and his career, and you know, now we're going to transition to what life looks like for an insightful player after the playing days have gone by.
Close, but I am, again, as a huge fan as well, Steve, and I remember the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of a situation in your career, and people would talk about which Steve Grogan would show up at times. So during your career, it wasn't always a bed of roses in your 16-year NFL career, and kind of describe it for our listeners out there that might have not seen you play, that at times you were just amazing, and at other times things just didn't go as well as you hoped. Am I correct?
That's extremely correct. And like I said, I came in here with a bunch of veteran quarterbacks, not expecting to make the team. And then when I did, I got a chance to play in New York down at Shea Stadium and against Joe Namath, which was a thrill to be on the same field with him. And I threw a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter because the young quarterback veteran that was playing wasn't playing very well. I threw a touchdown pass to Russ Francis, our great tight end, and the next day they activated Plunkett off the injured reserve and cut Neil Graff, and suddenly I was backing up Jim Plunkett, and 2 weeks later he got hurt. So halfway through my rookie year, I'm the starter. And I had some ability to run the football early in my career, and probably wasn't the best passer in the world, definitely not the best passer in the world. And my running ability my first 3 or 4 years bought me time to learn the passing game so that when I started having some knee problems in my fifth and sixth year, I was ready to transition my game to stay in the game as a pocket passer.
Interesting. And Jared, again, you are a fan of his, so it's kind of funny. Both of us were really good fans of his growing up in Pittsburgh. What did you admire about his game, Jared, that really impressed you?
You know, even as a youngster, I saw the dedication, and that's actually what I admired most about Steve and his career. And as I got older, he discussed the transition where, you know, he was he became the teacher, the mentor. And I remember, you know, seeing him with Tony Eason and you know, and on the sidelines and giving advice, being the teacher, being the coach of that, you know, another coach. And I admired that even when I got older and saw that. And, you know, Steve has highlighted what his background has done for them. You know, he didn't walk off the field and he didn't go into the corner. He was there for his team and his teammates. And I think, you know, my question for Steve is, as your career went on and you saw that the transition in from football to everyday life was going to take place, what skills kind of helped you make that transition?
You know, I was fortunate enough to play 16 years. Most guys don't get that kind of time. And I knew that by the time I got done at 37 years old, the transition into the business world was going to be more difficult than if I was younger and hadn't played as long. But I loved playing football, and I was going to make it last as long as I could. So I guess when I got done, we talked about the education earlier. I mean, you learn leadership and working with different people playing the game of football, but I didn't know a lot about business. I wasn't sure. There was no family business to go back to. So I started looking around at what I wanted to do, what I could do, what I had an ability to do, and I was smart enough to know that I had a lot of friends that were a lot smarter than me about business, and I started talking to some of them and getting their advice, and I wound up purchasing a sporting good business that had been here in Mansfield, Massachusetts for about 20 years and was on the market and having some troubles, and I bought it, and it's been 19 years, and we're still going strong.
That's fantastic, and that's you're taking a chance too, right, Steve? Again, your career's you had a successful career, but then to purchase a business that you don't know if you're going to be able to revive it. So that's a challenge in itself.
That was a challenge, and I didn't, as I said, I didn't know a great deal about business. I knew a lot about sports, and so this kept me around sports. I had a lot of good people that had been here working for a long time that stayed and helped with the transition, and most of them are still here. So, you know, I might not have known a lot about business, but I knew a lot about people, and I could tell the people I needed to have around me and the people I didn't, and it's worked out.
And we, Jarrett, we hear about this all the time, right? That, again, the transition of the players in the 70s and 80s already having an idea of where they're going to go in their career and taking that skill set, Jarrett, onto the football field, from the football field to the whatever career they decide afterwards.
Right, the boardroom, the schoolroom, the classroom. Yeah, but here's what I take, and I hope our listeners are picking up on this too. Steve transitions from being the leader and the teammate in the life of football and going into the business world. I love what he said. Most of the people were still with us from the beginning. That says a lot. 16 years. There's not exactly loyalty. You know, that shows loyalty. And what I hear from Steve is, as a businessman, he's a good leader and an excellent teammate. Steve, would you say that? That's probably you have a great deal of humility with you. So you may not necessarily agree with that. But how important is it, as an insightful player, a business person, to be both the leader and be a great teammate?
Oh, it's extremely important. And again, it all goes back to the role model thing. If I'm working hard and doing the right things every day, then the people around me are going to see that example that I'm setting, and hopefully we'll do the same thing.
Absolutely. And you said it perfectly in that way, and through the business world, who taught you, who were your role models in business? We talk about, you know, how you grew up and played for the Patriots, and you got to learn a little bit from Jim Plunkett, and you learned from all these different quarterbacks and great people that you admired in your career in the NFL. You have to have those role models in business as well. How did you learn the business game, you know, jumping in after pretty much your whole life was football before that?
Well, again, I had some friends that I had developed over the years and met that were very successful business people, and we sat down, and when I decided I was thinking about buying the business, we sat down and discussed what the opportunities were, what the disadvantages were, and I took those people's advice and put in some of what my own thoughts were and jumped in feet first and tried to make it work.
That's fantastic, and that's the key thing is, did you, Jarrett, looking and surrounding yourself with the right people. One of our good friends, or my good friend and mentor, G.J. Reynolds, said that all the time. We've got to surround ourselves with the right people in business and in life, and it's who we loaf with, who we learn from, and who we decide to hang out with, Jarrett, that really forms us. It formed him in his family, Steve's family. Then later in life, when he was ready for his career in business, he surrounded himself with the right people to be successful in business, Jarrett.
Yeah, and having that plan, again, the education, coming back to that, facing adversity. And so many times, you know, we've spoken to parents, and we advise them, and we talk to them about you do need to let your children face adversity. We can't protect them from everything, and we need to let them fail. There needs to be an element of failure, but being there as parents to say, now this is how we bounce back. And here we hear that from Steve's story, you know, being able to be resilient. We talk about that so much, and here we are having another story of a life of resiliency.
Absolutely, and I know Jarrett was thinking about a question on that, so I'll jump right into a question that my new mentor, another business mentor, Chrissy Carew, Coach Carew, really has been able to help me and my business since I've known her, to really develop more focus in what I'm trying to do. What does it mean, Steve, for you to be an insightful player? It's fantastic that we're finally highlighting players' careers off the field and what they do to help others in so many ways to work with children. What does it mean for you to be an insightful player, Steve?
It's pretty special. I mean, I've always tried to, as my parents taught me, to stay involved in the community. I'm involved with Easter Seals in Massachusetts, done things for the local YMCA, Rentham State School for the mentally handicapped. It just goes on and on. It's important to give back to the community when you've had a chance to be successful at whatever it is you do. It's almost, to me, it's almost the most important thing is to give something back to the people around you, and I've always tried to do that, and to be an insightful player. Chrissy asked me to be one of them, talk to her for her book. I can tell she's doing this thing all for the right reasons, and that's why I'm happy to be a part of it.
Absolutely, and Steve, if you got a chance to, I'll have to sometimes forward you some of those podcast interviews with the other insightful players. What we're seeing from the younger players in the generation of, I guess, the 2000s, unbelievable people that Chrissy has chosen to be insightful players. They truly know about giving back. They know about that giving portion of things, Jarrett. And you can share about that for a second, Jarrett, really quickly. The Insightful Player Series and the way where what makes it different from the other athletes we've interviewed, Jarrett, or celebrities and stuff?
It's such an easy answer. It's an all-star team of men who are, again, providing experience and teaching and coaching and mentoring, but it's an all-star team of community leaders and community service-oriented people. That's the way I look at the insightful players.
That's a great point. And, okay, Steve, where can we find information on you and learn more about you so that we can check out your business and, I guess, other things that are going on with Steve?
Well, I don't go around publishing what's going on with me very often, so you might be able to look something up on the Internet. We have a website for the business. It's GroganMarciano.com. Right now our website's under construction, so you may not get much information there, but should be up and running here before too long. Other than that, I'm just living my life trying to do the right thing the best that I can every day, and if people hear about it, great. If they don't, it's not a big deal.
So you're kind of in the shadows now after the career, and it kind of shows your career and in life. You chose to be in business now, and you're still out there helping in the community, but ultimately you want to be in the background. And that shows great humility, and it shows especially an unbelievable career that you've had, that ultimately the spotlight's not what you're looking for at this time in your career. You're looking at how I can give back, how I can help others, and how I can transform society. So I really commend you about that, Steve. That's fantastic.
Well, I've never forgotten that the success I've had was due in part to a lot of people, whether it was my parents or my teammates, and now in business, people that work for me. I wouldn't be successful without a lot of other people doing their jobs and setting a good example. So I'm just trying to do the same thing for others.
All right, Steve. Well, I appreciate you coming by. Love to have you back at a time to catch up on the career, more about football and life as well. And best of luck to you and your business. And I'm not going to say go Pats, but I'm going to say definitely go Steve Grogan. And I'm an even bigger fan after getting to talk to you. So thanks for coming
by. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Enjoyed visiting with you guys.
All right, take care, Steve. See ya. Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Insightful Player Series, and we'll be back in just a moment.